Book of Acts here, Acts chapter 24. That's where we'll find ourselves tonight, Acts chapter 24. And while you're turning there, anybody have a testimony or anything they're thankful for? Any blessings or anything anybody want to share? Karen, I see you didn't get eaten by alligators.
Oh.
Because we got there and the site was too small.
Okay, so y'all stayed somewhere else.
The blessing was, you used to be able to fly by your senior pants in Florida, but not anymore. But the blessing was the Canadians are not allowed in the United States. Therefore, we did find a camper.
Okay.
Because they had a slot for us. That was a real miracle that we found someplace. But we said, well, the Canadians are coming down, so.
Okay. Oh, glad you and Kurt had a great time.
We did, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Well,
yeah.
We weren't anywhere near
Okay, that's good. Anybody else have anything you want to thank the Lord for? Any praises or blessings? Or? Okay, if not, we'll look at our lesson here tonight. Acts chapter 24, and we'll pick up our reading in verse 22. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lystra's the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. He commanded a centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and of judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season or time, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and had communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus was come into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we'll look at here tonight and pray your blessing upon your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you that forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And Father, I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So guide us here tonight, Lord. And Father, help me be a vessel, honors your son and your word. So Lord, may you increase our faith and our hope and our love in thee tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, in this passage here, we have Felix, and we have Paul, and we have Drusilla, and and I'd like to kind of look at this encounter here through different eyes here. And for Paul here, you know, if you're bound and this guy in front of you can set you free, how might you approach this guy? You probably would be, what, very courteous and, you know, try and not do anything, get him upset or get him mad at you. Because if he got mad or upset at you, what might he do? He might make your life more miserable. I mean, he gave him liberty and he was bound. But through Paul's eyes, as he sees the situation, he didn't go that direction. Because what did he do with Felix? What did he talk to him about in verse 25? Of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Now, is that a recipe how to win friends and influence people? Do you know what I mean? You know, you start putting that stuff out there, and you can, you know, if they respond positively, you got a friend for life. If they respond really negatively, you might have an enemy for life. Now, for Paul, if you were standing in Paul's shoes, would you want to be released from being a prisoner? Wouldn't you want that? That would be natural desire just to be released. You wouldn't want to be a prisoner. But for Paul here, through his eyes, what did he see was the most important thing he could do at this time? What's the most important thing he could do? Make sure he shared what?
The gospel.
Now, does anybody know? It's like one person said, if I knew where I was going to die, I just wouldn't go there, you know? And if you knew that, but the thing is, no man knows the hour nor the day when they'll pass into eternity. And so for Paul, he said here in the book of Romans, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 16. He said these words, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I mean, Paul, as he wrote those words, he lived it right here. He knew that Felix and Drusilla needed that. Now, that's Paul. He's standing there looking. I want you to think and look as Felix is sitting here now. Felix is looking at Paul. Paul's looking at Felix as they are standing here at this time. And share a little bit about Felix here. His wife, Drusilla, there was his third wife. And Felix, actually, Drusilla was another man's wife that he wooed her away to become his wife. He hired this magician guy from Crete, and he was kind of like an intermediator. And through a series of events, he persuaded Drusilla to leave her husband to be his wife. What kind of name would you give a guy like that? You could give him a lot of names, couldn't you? Not a really good guy. Now, Paul is from Felix is listening to Paul. Now, what did Paul share here? Of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Now, Drusilla, which was a what in verse 24? Look at in her eyes. She was what?
Jewish. A Jewish.
Don't the Jewish people have this thing called the Ten Commandments? Do you think she ever heard of that before? Thou shalt not commit what? Adultery. Do you think she ever heard that before? I think so. And now, Drusilla, she was a daughter of Herod Agrippa. Does that ring a bell? Her father murdered the Apostle James. That was her father. Her great uncle, Herod Antipas, he killed John the Baptist. Her great grandfather, Herod the Great, who did he kill? The babies. That's her heritage. Did she ever hear anything of Christ, do you think, during her life? You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, they touched on, you know, her great-grandfather, you know, when the wise men came, he had all the, Christ was supposed to be the king, and he had all the babies killed 2 years and younger. Did John the Baptist ever talk about Christ any? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Do you think the Apostle James talked about Christ any? Do you think she may have heard of being around all this stuff? So you've got Felix here, you've got Drusilla here, and you got Paul in chains. Now, what did he talk about? Of righteousness. How righteous does a person have to be to go to heaven? What's God's standard?
Perfection.
Any perfect people here tonight? Do you think Felix and Drusilla maybe in a little bit could see a little imperfections in their life? Do you think they could feel a little bit of God's law coming down on them? I mean, I would have liked to have heard Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach, some of these great preachers of the past. I'd love to hear some of these men preach. How would you like to hear the Apostle Paul preach a sermon? That'd be pretty wow. You know, Felix and Drusilla, they heard him preach a sermon. And he preached about righteousness and self-control. God's righteousness, self-control. It doesn't sound like Felix and Drusilla had very much self-control in their life. As he went down through this evening, I think the room got a little hot there for Felix. I think that temperature kind of went up in that room just a little bit here. And somebody pick out the reaction that he gave in verse 25 of Felix, what was happening on the inside. What does Scripture say in verse 25? He trembled. Now think about that. Now he's the main guy. He's like the leader. He's the king. Everybody look. All of a sudden, you see that. You ever seen somebody tremor? You know, they get to shaking. They're really upset. They're really inside. Their emotions are going round and around. They're just, and he starts to tremor and shake. Do you think he was feeling a little bit of a conviction? Do you think that was weighing down heavily on him, as Paul shared? Turn here to the Gospel of John here for a moment. And, you know, when you speak and witness to people in John chapter 16, look at verse 7 and following. What is the work of the Holy Spirit in redemption and evangelism? Look at John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So as Paul is speaking to Felix and Drusilla, and the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will reprove, convict the world of sin. And so when Paul was preaching there, the Holy Spirit is inside of Felix saying, what that man's saying is true. It's convicting him. When Paul said, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, inside of Felix, he heard the Holy Spirit saying, that is true. See, that's that inward conviction. What conviction is when you share the word of God, the Holy Spirit is inside that person's heart and spirit saying, that is true. Convict the world of sin, reprove the world of righteousness and of judgment. And that's exactly what Paul was doing here. He reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Judgment to come. Anybody think of a verse about judgment to come? Give me a verse on judgment. Jim.
What I was thinking of was a song we used to sing when I was a boy.
Okay.
The song, the one line of the song went, "Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call." I just had to think about that.
Now. Sure.
That's evident come from this verse.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that whoever wrote that song had this verse going through their mind. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And how about Hebrews 9:27? And so the point of the man wants to die and what? After this, the judgment. Now, for Felix trembled, and it doesn't really say Drusilla's reaction, but I'm guarantee you when she looked over and saw Felix trembling, you know, men don't like to show fear like that. I'm sure that she was probably churning on the inside too. Now, what was his reaction? I mean, he's trembling. He's got the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Verse 25, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient time or season. Convenient time. What do you call that when somebody pushes it off? What do you call that? Okay, procrastination. Just put it off. Just put it off. Just put it off. Josephus writes this about Drusilla. Now, Felix, after 2 years, he was let go in verse 27. Rome put in a new, Festus came in. But Josephus tells us about Drusilla. You ever heard of Mount Vesuvia in Italy? Does that volcano mean anything to anybody? What happened at Mount Vesuvia in AD 79?
Volcano.
And what did it do? In Pompeii. Yeah, blew up. It leveled the city. You know, they dug up Pompeii, and they had people actually running down the street with all their gold and silver trying to get away from the volcano, and the ash hit them and killed them. But it showed them running, falling down, being buried alive in the explosion with all their possessions, their silver and gold. You know, when it happened, it just leveled. You know what Josephus says? That's how Drusilla died. She died in Mount, when that eruption. Now, that's what Josephus tells. Now, we looked at Paul from the eyes through Paul, how he saw the situation. For him, his well-being or his being released wasn't important. He knew these people needed God. He knew he had two sinners in front of him that needed Christ. From Felix and Drusilla's eyes, looking back at Paul, they were stirred, but they weren't what? Changed. They were stirred emotionally, but if you're stirred emotionally, does that do you any good? No, that doesn't do you a bit of good. It's not until you what? Repent, tell God you're sorry, put your faith in Christ, and because of your true repentance and faith in Christ, your life changes. And so now we had Paul, Felix, Drusilla, but there's somebody else present. Who was that there? The Holy Spirit was there, God. Did the Holy Spirit know when Drusilla was going to die? He knew just a few years later she was going to die. And the thing about a sinner under conviction, when does God tell a sinner to get saved? Today. Today is the day of what? Salvation. That is the day. That is the day. If God's knocking on the door of your heart, what are you supposed to do? Open up. Because if you procrastinate, if you wait, when is the right time? Go away. Go thy way. You know, that's what sinners want to do. When they're under conviction, what do? They push. If they don't want to respond, what do? They push away. They push away. And you can always tell when people are, when righteousness or the right way is presented before them, if they push back at you, it's not good. And for a sinner, the best time for them to get saved is right then. I remember Warren Wiersbe shared this story. He was witnessing to a guy one time, and the guy said, "Warren, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "There's a special place and a special time when people to get saved, and it's not my time yet." And so he thought to Warren Wiersbe, he said to himself, he said, "Sir, how do you know it's a special place and a special time for you to get saved? How will you know that?" And he goes, "Well, I'm not really sure." And then Warren Wiersbe goes, "Well, how do you know when you'll get saved then if you don't know what the special place and the special time is?" And the guy just walked away, and Warren Wiersbe said to himself, the illogical conclusion that man had gotten to, Warren Wiersbe didn't have a category for it. But that's the way people are. They think, "Well, I can wait and it'll be okay." But guess what? You can't wait because you don't know the day of your death. You don't know when you might go out into eternity. So, with all this being said, what's some applications we can make for us? One, is it ever a good time? Was this a good time for Paul to witness? It was. Was it an easy time for him to witness? No, it wasn't. But it was a good time. Because for Felix and Drusilla, they could not stand before God and say, "God, you did not tell me the way of salvation." God would say to them, "I sent you the Apostle Paul. Remember the day you trembled?" So it's always the right time to witness, but it's never an easy time to witness. Now for Felix and Drusilla, what would be something you could say to a lost people, given this story here? What would you say to a lost person? If you witnessed to them, what would you say to them?
Don't put it off.
Absolutely, don't put it off. Because how much time did Drusilla have when that Mount Vesuvio went? How much time do you have? Not much time. Now, how many deathbed conversions are there in the Bible? One. Which one is that? Thief on the cross. Why is there only one?
To give everybody hope.
Okay, so men won't despair. Okay, why is there only one? So men won't presume and wait. God only put one. You can be on your deathbed and get saved, but don't wait, because there's only one in the Bible. And men need to be ready. When God knocks on the door of your heart, what should you do? Open up. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we looked at here tonight. And Father, as believers, help us be like Paul. It's never easy to witness, but it's always the right thing to do. And Father, help sinners we deal with, God, as we witness to people, that, Lord, they could see the urgency. And Lord, may we plead with sinners to get saved. Lord, they're already lost. They're already condemned. Father, help us as believers to have urgency in our voice and a pleading in our prayers for the lost to come to Christ. And Father, as Paul reasoned with them of righteousness and of self-control and of judgment to come, Lord, that's a good outline for us to follow as we present the gospel. So, Lord, help us toward this end to trust you and to be faithful to you as Paul was at this time, that we would be faithful in our opportunities and not to be intimidated with people in authority or people that have power, but that we'd be faithful to the faith and to witness for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.